Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is the Tyler Morgan Show on Relentless Daring Media Network. Welcome to the Tyler Morgan Show. This is Tyler Morgan, not live on Twitch as I usually be. Right now I'm getting ready to do a interview with my good friend, John Androsic of Five for Five, and we're going to be talking disastrous pullout from Afghanistan last year and the things that have gone on since then, his work with Save Our Allies, filming a music video in Ukraine during an act of war. So this is going to be a great interview. Love John, love having him on here. He is always a great guest. Glad to have him. Cannot wait. But before I get into the interview with John, I got a couple minutes here. Let me talk to you about one of my favorite things besides the whiskey on the wall behind me. That would be coffee, more specifically American Pride Roasters. Recently, my wife got a very fancy water cooler for the house that you can run K-cups in. And she thought she'd be cute, and she got me some Death Wish coffee, and it's all right. But it came with the little basket thing you put your own coffee grounds in, and oh my gosh, I have been running Frederick Douglass blend through that. Again, I've said this before, and I mean it, one of my favorite blends. So check out aprcoffee.com. They have all kinds of great flavors there. In fact, I'm drinking APR coffee right now. So if you want to check it out, aprcoffee.com, historically great coffee.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, man.
Hey, John.
What's up, buddy?
Oh, another day.
I'm here. Yes, it is.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'm coming off of 6 weeks of dealing with a broken hand. So.
Oh, no. Sorry to hear that.
My last 7 weeks have been horrible.
Oh.
In the same week, my house got hit by lightning and caught on fire.
Jesus.
3 days later, I fall and break my hand.
Ah.
And we've been living in a construction zone ever since.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's all good. That's what insurance is for, right?
That's true. Yep.
So, John, the last year that since we pulled out of Afghanistan, as has been demonstrated in your re-release for the video to Blood on My Hands, it has been absolute hell on the people of Afghanistan. And when you did that re-release, just the headlines alone, just heartbreaking.
No, you're right. I was trying to think about what could I do to try to, like many, to refocus on Afghanistan. you know, it was terrible a month before the anniversary. It's terrible now a month after the anniversary, but you know, anniversaries tend to have an opportunity in windows. And I was coordinating with Mike Waltz and some of the other veteran organizations, Scott Mann, who has a new book out about Task Force Pineapple, to try to put a little bit of spotlight back on Afghanistan. And for me, I thought, you know, instead of me pontificating, let me just pull headlines, just stating the facts about the women's rights decimation, the hunting of our allies. And they weren't, you know, from right-leaning outlets. You know, no. I quoted the New York Times, CNN. I wanted to, you know, to take the politics out of it and just kind of show that this great stain has only continued and frankly, in some respects, growing. So it was not pleasant to make, but as you know, I think there's some of us who still feel obligated to keep the promise. And to do that, we have to keep the light shining on what is now listed as the country with the least freedom in the world by many organizations who rank those things. And that's happened in 1 year. And sadly, that's directly because of our decision.
Right. And as much as, you know, we want to talk about the disaster, I think there has to be a huge light shined on, you know, all these people who've gone in after the fact. You know, you talked about Scott Mann, Operation Pineapple, Nick Palmigiano, and Save Our Allies. Have you watched his documentary Send Me yet?
I was there when they debuted it in Washington, D.C. with Tim Kennedy. And it was, as you know, it's incredibly powerful. And, you know, Nick and Save Our Allies were the group that took me to Ukraine and helped me film the Can One Man Save the World video with Ukrainian orchestra. And to be with them kind of in theater, watching them do their work and meet some of their folks on the ground, it's been incredible. One of the, you know, in this terrible time, one of the highlights of my life to see the heroes doing that kind of work. And, you know, Tyler, what they did in Afghanistan, rescuing 12,000 people in 10 days.
Right.
And when, you know, I was with Scott Mann this weekend at the Gary Sinise Foundation Gala and, you know, kind of talking to him and these folks haven't given up, you know, Project Exodus Relief. We're still doing Zoom calls. You know, Nick sent me a picture the other day of two Afghan allies that they rescued. They're certainly few and far between, but these, you know, they have incredible tenacity and commitment and they're not giving up. So in this kind of depressing subject, there is this one bright light of Americans, private Americans, just doing heroic work, not just in Afghanistan, Ukraine, but around the world. I'm working with Bonnie Carroll from TAPS, another incredible organization that many of your listeners are probably familiar with. Mm-hmm. She just got back from Ukraine, was there for a week. She was in Dnipro, which just took a couple missiles the day after she left and killed some children. So, you know, you meet these folks, you know, walking the walk, and it inspires you to try to do more as well. So I'm glad you mentioned Nick and those guys. We, and it's amazing. In these dark situations and places, we tend to have, you know, I hate to say a good time, but we try to keep each other, you know, focused and light and not wallow in the misery, but try to shine the light on those who deserve it.
Right. And I will say, because my first experience with Nick Palmigiano was his videos for Ranger Up. And if anyone has ever followed his videos, they're so goofy and off kilter that when you kind of forget that he was, you know, Army paratrooper, Ranger tabbed, just leader of men. And that when, you know, so when this kicked off, an entire different side that so many people never got to see came out. And I think so many people really stepped forward where, you know, this wasn't what they ever expected to be doing.
Yeah, no, I mean, there is some light moments in Ukraine, between the very serious moments. And, you know, I think those guys have been doing it so long. They understand that you can't always be angry, frustrated, depressed, or you won't be able to survive the mission. There has, you know, that's why, you know, I'm not a soldier, but, you know, the the banter that kind of keep the soldiers, you know, teasing each other. And there was a moment we had an hour or two in Ukraine, and we went to a music store because I wanted to buy a guitar and actually perform Blood on My Hands in Ukraine. And we were looking for guitars, and Nick said, all right, hey, I'm going to sit at the piano. And he goes, and again, he's not just a, you know, a hero, a soldier. He's a producer. He's a director. He's an artistic guy. So we did this little video of him pretending to play 100 Years on the piano, you know, and I'm over there and, you know, all of a sudden it pops to me and, you know, he loves those goofy TikTok things.
Right.
And, but it just keeps it light. And also know that if there's any issue, you know, he can kill the guy that's trying to kill me.
So, right.
You know, so that's always nice too. And having Tim Kennedy around, you also have a certain comfort that if things go bad, you got some badasses, you know, around you to take care of us weaklings. So yeah, they're amazing people. And we're just got off the phone with some of Save Our Allies people. We're trying to do a big old concert for freedom in Ukraine and Afghanistan. So we're still pushing on our side, and to do it with folks like that who really become your family, it actually gives you more energy, makes it easier to, you know, to fight that fight.
Right. And that's why I think a lot of people kind of, you know, who aren't paying attention, they forget that, you know, all these connections that we have made over the last 20 years in Afghanistan, and what, you know, individuals who go over and help in Ukraine, the connections they make, they forget that they're actual people, you know, outside of the politics of everything. 'Cause I mean, watching Send Me, it all started off because Chad Robichaud wanted to get, you know, his guy out.
Yeah. And there's so many stories like that. Basically, all these NGOs, that's how it started. You know, whether it was Scott Mann or Mike Edwards or Chad, you know, they had brothers at war over there. You know, maybe some of them saved their lives, whether they were soldiers, interpreters, they became family members, you know, with Afghans, and we're so close to them. So for them, it was very personal. And then it just grew into like, well, nobody else is doing this. Let's save as many people as we can. But there's always personal connection. And there still is. I literally get emails every week about, you know, my person, this person's still stranded. This person's being hunted. And, you know, you still see heroic Afghan women parading in the street, you know, protesting the fact that girls can't still go back to school, you know, with the Taliban beating them, you know. So, you know, it's crazy to see the world right now, you know, Iran, the women of Iran, Ukraine, Afghanistan, and we could go on for 10 minutes about the oppression in the world, but you also see these heroes doing heroic things. And I think we're also seeing, you know, some future, you know, Mandela's standing up for their country if they don't get killed in the process of doing so.
Right. And that's something that a lot of people who have been on the ground for, like I said, I'd done two tours in Afghanistan. And when you see the people standing up, I mean, when I was over there the first tour, we were in Host Province, Sabari District. We're really close to Zambar, which is where the Haqqani network was bringing a ton of their IEDs in from Pakistan. And there were people there in the Afghan army. It was a paycheck. They didn't care. It was an excuse to go walk around, smoke some hash, listen to music.
Right.
But we had a leader who was partnered with our company commander, and Afghanistan, by God, is his fight. He's going to win it. And he worked so hard to weed out those Afghans who didn't want to be there. I mean, we had one soldier in a platoon attached to who would always go on mission with us. He was teaching himself English. So that way we go out, we would have our assigned interpreter. And then if we split into multiple groups, you know, our lieutenant, he could have the interpreter, and then the other group, yeah, we want Tajiman. Tajiman, come on. That way we would have an interpreter who spoke enough English to help us out. And, you know, we had one interpreter, his family started getting death threats when we first got there. And this is a guy, he was American educated, and he could spot a Pakistani from a mile away. It was uncanny We'd be on patrol. Yeah, that guy, he's Pakistani. And you call him over, you're from Pakistan. What are you doing here? And just start giving him the third degree. And I'm here for hospitals, have surgery. Yep. And these are the kinds of people that we're trying to get out. And I think everyone seems to forget that.
Yeah, again, you know, it's the nature of American media to be, you know, here and gone. And, it worries me that so much of our attention is paid to such shallow, trivial mm-hmm. things. It's also something I understand that people don't really want to talk about because it's shameful. It just makes us feel ashamed of ourselves. And when you have that, you don't want to talk about it. You kind of want it to just go away. So it's easy to push these things. You know, you see that even with Ukraine. You know, it was a big deal for a while. Now it's kind of there, kind of not, kind of there, kind of not. And some people support it. Some people don't support it. But we're very kind of fickle in this, there's a squirrel, you know, culture. Yeah. But there's folks like you and especially the folks who were in Afghanistan who feel obligated to do it. And, you know, so many people have that story. You know, Elliot Ackerman also wrote just an amazing book on Afghanistan called The Fifth Act, where it really talks about, you know, the interpreter that was with his unit and that bond and his obligation to try to save him and his family. And you can understand that. And there's tens of thousands of veterans and Afghan veterans who feel that way. And you understand why there's so much angst and frustration and PTSD and with our Afghan veterans who see no closure on this debacle. And, you know, hopefully I'm told if the House changes from Democrat to Republican, that there will be hearings on Afghanistan, because I think it's important we recognize what we did. We're never going to fix it. It's going to be terrible for generations there. You know, women are back to the 14th century. But I think if we don't at least admit what we did, we'll never be able to look back and when another situation comes, recognize our failure here. And so I think, and also for Afghan veterans, I think until there's some accountability, look, to me, the worst thing a year later from this anniversary is that with all that's happened, all the misery, the murders of our allies, the Taliban, the human rights disaster, the starvation, not one general, not one member of the State Department, not one advisor who said the Taliban will take 6 months to even come to Kabul has been fired or resigned.
Right. And I think that's one the biggest tragedy of all of it is that we have leaders in the military and in the civilian branches of the executive that they feel that we as Americans, we're not entitled to accountability from them. You know, yeah. You know, Mark Milley, you know, what was it? 7 years ago, 2015. Yeah, China's not our enemy. And his refusal to accept, you know, any responsibility for his advising as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs to President Biden on, is this a good idea? Is this a bad idea? Or if he was giving similar good or bad advice to Donald Trump when Donald Trump was initiating this withdrawal. So, I mean, where is, you know, Austin Brown, where is, or Lloyd Austin, where did I get Austin Brown from? Oh my God, yeah. my brain, no work. It's been a long day. Yeah. I've only been up since 4 a.m. So, Austin hasn't given any accountability as a Secretary of Defense. Gina Haspel, the CIA, just everyone has failed and no one wants to admit, okay, here's where we went wrong. Because every operation I ever did in the military, at the end of it, we did an after action review. We look at what happened, what was supposed to happen. Here's what we did right. But more importantly, here's where we need to improve. Here's what we did wrong. If there's a reason to hold people accountability for failures, this is where we go through it. But there has been none of that with any of this Afghan debacle.
No, and that's exactly what needs to happen. I'm glad you put it that way. It's exactly an after-action review. Again, not just to document what we did wrong to adjust our strategies you know, in a similar situation going forward, but also to have closure for our Afghan veterans who are so angry. I think the fact that you're right, that not only are General Milley and General Austin not held accountable, you know, a lot of times they're still parroting, what an extraordinary success,
right?
You know, which is so Orwellian that just blows your mind. And that's
worst
dangerous.
Piece.
And, you know, and I also think, I often think of, and again, I know they both struggle with this a lot, probably personally, but at the end of the day, your actions are your actions. And I often wonder if General Milley was honest when he said that he told President Biden to not abandon Bagram, to leave a small force there. And Joe Biden said, no, we're not going to do that. If he would have resigned or threatened to resign, if we may not be here. Look, this whole action on Afghanistan was a political operation. The White House wanted to celebrate on the 20th anniversary of 9/11 being out of Afghanistan. So it was a complete political operation from the day one. That's why they call it an extraordinary success now. But I think they would have maybe recalculated if their main general was going to resign. They would not want that that optic with this withdrawal. So who knows if he actually would have gone through with it? And similar with General Austin, if he would have said, you know what, your decision, I respect you, I can't be part of it, I'm out of here, like many generals did under President Trump, who were lauded for their courage resign.
Jim Mattis resigned as Secretary of Defense because he did not agree with Trump's policies, and yet that's the way the left said. That's how the right said. This is how you protest a president when you are a general, when you are a cabinet member. If you cannot, in good conscience, go along with those policy decisions, deuces, I'm out.
Yeah, and I respect that. Respect that the generals who resigned under Trump. And that's why I think so many veterans, again, Tyler, you're part of the community, many of them are more angry and upset and feel betrayed by Austin and Milley and the generals than President Biden. They expect presidents to be political, okay? But they expect their leaders that took the oath to honor that oath. And I think they feel they've been betrayed. And, you know, to this day, there's been no accountability. And I don't think there will be until there are hearings. So let's hope that happens. I think it needs to happen. Those guys are going to, you know, they'll get their retirement and their $100,000 keynotes and go off into that world soon enough. But I think we owe it to the Afghans to hold the people responsible who caused this. And certainly it wasn't only this president. It was, if you read Elliot Ackerman's book, it really documents the mistakes every president made.
Oh yeah.
But one president decided to do it this way, and two generals decided to echo his political narrative and go along with it. And sadly, history well, can't forget that.
Absolutely. And so I know we spent a lot of time on Afghanistan, and I when I saw you were doing the music video in Ukraine at that bombed out airport, I was just like, wait, John, have you lost your damn mind?
You're not alone in that.
I'm sure Mrs. Androsik was none too pleased.
It was a long talk, I'll say that one.
Yeah. Oh, but so what was it like on the ground in Afghanistan, you know, in a more Western war-torn country versus, you know, like I experienced in Afghanistan?
Yeah, I mean, going to Ukraine was surreal. Just getting there was surreal. Took 2 days. I had Nick Palmisano on one side, Hollywood Hurt on the other. And, you know, and you really feel like, taking the war out of context for a minute, mm-hmm. you really feel like you're going back in time, because a lot of the trains, a lot of the countryside, it's like 1950, you know, they're 1955. And then you start to see some of the blown up tanks, and it's World War II. So right. you feel this weird kind of journey through time. But then you also, you know, you see the carnage, you see some evidence of the atrocities, you see the blown up buildings, which you see bridges that the Ukrainians blew up to try to stop Putin's army from coming into Kyiv. You see some of that strategy. You see some of the roadblocks, some of the artillery. And then you just meet the people and you understand why here we are, geez, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10 months later with them actually not only providing a stalemate, but taking some territory back. You just see the fortitude in the everyday Ukrainian, in this violin player, in this cello player, in this conductor. And they have this kind of stoicism and fortitude that I've never seen in my life. So you're inspired, you're angry, you're frustrated, but you're also doing this musical collaboration with these people, and you feel blessed to be able to have that experience and ability to shine the spotlight there. So every single emotion you can imagine occurred in those 5 days, as well as exhaustion, because you don't sleep, because you're waiting for the air raid and you have to run down, you know, under the hotel, and, you know, and so, yeah, it's just this, you know, I've never been a soldier, as I said, so I can't speak to what it feels like to be in combat or whatever, but being there, I certainly got a taste of what the Ukrainian people are living under every day, and that weight and how that drains you. And I kept thinking, I got to leave, you know, they don't.
Right.
So it was an education for sure.
Well, even with beyond the politics of Ukraine, just thank you for going there and shining light, not on Zelensky and all and his collection of green t-shirts, not on the political leaders of Ukraine, but, you know, doing that video with, you know, the orchestra of Ukrainians, and just like, these are the people who have to live with this. I think, again, that brings that humanitarian aspect, that bringing the humanity of who was in the middle of this, you know, without, you know, finding videos that, you know, like the old lady telling the Russian soldier, put these sunflower seeds in your pocket. That way, when you die, there'll be sunflowers grow out of it. So it turns out it was a staged video. That, yeah, the propaganda that comes from both sides of it, but just seeing the people trying their best to live their lives in the middle of hell. I mean, thank you so very much for that, John. I know it's kind of a short conversation for us, and you know, I've got to get off here and run. But again, thank you for taking the time to sit down with me. It means a lot.
Always a pleasure. You know, heal up quickly.
And, yeah, my finger that's going to be crooked for the rest of my life. That's great.
Yeah, we'll keep you on the loop on our endeavors, and it's always a pleasure to chat.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, John. Thanks so much for joining me.
See you, buddy. Take care, right. Tyler.
Bye.
Bye.
So there's John hanging out with me again. Just absolute great guy. Again, if you are joining me on Patreon, you probably got to listen to this before you saw it on YouTube, before you listened to it on the regular podcast. So again, thank you so very much for joining me on Patreon. Remember, if you are not a member of Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/Tyler Morgan Show. Sign up, $5 a month. That's all, minimum $5 a month. Join me again, get access to AMAs, which I haven't done one yet, so as soon as I get some people on there who want to do an AMA, you can ask me anything. It'll be fun. I'm sure there'll be lots of, wait, what's your favorite whiskey you got up on the shelf or down the floor since the other shelf decided it was going to fall over? Stupid shelf. Again, thank you so very much for joining me on this little conversation with John Ondrasik. Again, as he does stuff, he loves come on and talk, because I have exactly zero clout. And the fact that John wants to come on and have a conversation with me says a lot about John. Not so much about me, about him. He's an awesome class act dude. Again, so John Ondrasik, go check out the music videos for Can One Man Save the World and Blood on Your Hands 1 Year Anniversary Edition. Like I said, check out those headlines that came out from left-wing news sources, right-wing news sources. It just really highlights how badly we failed leaving Afghanistan. So again, thank you so much for joining me, and as always, stay relentless.
The Tyler Morgan Show is a Relentless Daring Media production. The Tyler Morgan Show is supported by its listeners. To support the show, go to ko-fi.com/Tyler Morgan Show to donate there, or relentlessdaring.com and hit the donate button at the top of the page to set up your donation. All music used in the Tyler Morgan Show is used with permission from purpleplanet.com. Link in the show notes. 2 Timothy 1:7.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.